Hey, thank you so much, Rachel. What a joy to be here this morning. Welcome, everybody. Really glad you're here. We're going to start with the scripture reading this morning. So I would like to invite up Therese to open the Bible for us today. That's right. Let's let Therese know she is among friends. This morning, we're reading from Matthew chapter 13. And Therese is going to read from the English Standard Version, which is a little different from the Bibles that we have in the chair racks. But we'll read and listen along. Therese.
Matthew 13, 44 through 46. The parable of the hidden treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. The parable of the pearl of great value. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of a fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it.
Let us pray. Let us clap. And now let us pray. God, we believe that you inspired Matthew to write these words of Jesus accurately. And would you help us to understand them, to understand this parable of the kingdom, and to experience what you have for us in this text. Holy Spirit, we are listening to you. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our King. Amen. Amen. A surprise treasure which a person found, joy. And I've been thinking about how to help us experience this joy of discovery that Jesus talks about, and I settled on this idea. What if I could hide some treasure in this room, and one of us could find it? A little experience of surprise and discovery that the scripture speaks of. But then I realized I have a general sense of where most of us sit. And so to make it fair, this week on Thursday, I asked our custodian to come in here and pick a chair at random. He doesn't come on Sunday mornings. He has no idea where any of us sit. And let me tell you, if you find the treasure this morning, you get to keep it. And the rest of us are going to cheer for you. Okay? Let me tell you what to look for. You're looking for a $100 bill in a white envelope tucked in a Bible in a chair rack in front of you. Go. If you find it, raise your hand. Oh, it's been found already. No way. Well, congratulations. Woo. All right. A surprise treasure. A person discovers it, a little bit of joy, just like that. Well, I'm very glad. You know, to be honest, I wish I could have put a $100 bill in every Bible, in every chair rack in front of you, but I'm not Oprah, and I'm limited. The good news is that the scriptures we're looking at today, it points to an abundance of treasure that God brings that each of us are able to receive, and it is far more valuable than $100. But I'm really glad you got that today. I'll celebrate with you. From now till Easter, we're journeying through the Gospel of Matthew, and we're looking at many aspects of Jesus' kingdom. Jesus says there is a motivating joy, a life-changing joy to be had in connection with the kingdom he is bringing. And so before we jump into today's passage, let me just review where we've been thus far. And if you missed a Sunday, you know, I invite you, watch it on YouTube, and you'll be blessed. The first Sunday, several weeks back, we talked about the invitation and the challenge of Jesus that Jesus brings to all people when he says, hey, repent, believe, and follow. Follow Jesus into his kingdom. It was written about in Matthew chapter 4. Then we looked at the unexpected teaching of Jesus. I call it a kingdom of unexpectation. And we listened to the greatest preacher preach the greatest sermon that's recorded in Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and 7. And then last week, Rachel preached on Jesus' radical inclusion of people in his kingdom of image bearers. Rachel shined a spotlight on Jesus' remarkable claim that to experience his kingdom, we must let go of pride and we must let go of power and we must embrace the childlike humility and trust. The Gospel of Matthew, it reveals that Jesus' kingdom flies in the face of all other kingdoms. The kingdom of Jesus is not the same as the kingdom of America and its promise of comfort and convenience. The kingdom of Jesus is not the same as the kingdom of Republicans or the kingdom of Democrats. The kingdom is not the same as the kingdom of wealth and war and prestige and money. The kingdom of Jesus is radically different. And so today, as we look at yet another aspect in this kingdom, I invite you to listen in to what Jesus is saying in these scriptures, to wrestle with them, to consider what he might be saying for our church and for our lives. Today we're looking at two parables that Therese read for us about the kingdom. Now the word parable, it comes from a Greek word, and it literally means to cast alongside. Para is to put by or alongside, and bole is to cast or to throw. Parables are short. They're fictional stories that Jesus tells to cast alongside the minds and the hearts of his audience. His friends already have their own ideas about the kingdom that they want to be part of. They already have their own ideas about what's most important in their life. And so Jesus casts these short stories alongside their thinking for them to contemplate and ponder. Does anybody own a rock tumbler? You know a rock tumbler? You put a rock inside and you turn it on and it spins around and tumbles and then after a little while out comes a shiny, polished, beautiful rock. A friend of mine owns a rock tumbler and I asked him one time, so does it take like 24 hours to get the rock shiny? And he said, it takes 4 weeks. And I was like, 4 weeks? 4 weeks of that thing on, making lots of noise. Where do you put it? He's like, I put it in my garage as far away from the rest of the house as I can. 4 weeks of tumbling around until out comes this beautiful, polished rock. The challenge of Jesus' parables is to let these stories tumble around in our minds and in our hearts until our lives are polished by the truth that they reveal. And so this week, here's my action step for you. I'll tell you right now, even before we get to preaching. This week, I'm inviting you to step into the reality of Jesus' kingdom by keeping these parables tumbling around in your minds and your hearts every day so that the Holy Spirit can do his life-changing work in you. Maybe when you're watching a show, you're watching a movie, you just think about how does this parable and this movie fit together or not fit together? What would Jesus be saying? As you're doing the dishes, maybe you think, okay, the parable of Jesus. Okay, just keep it tumbling around and see what the Holy Spirit does. And if you sense God doing something, naming something in your heart, then I encourage you to be open-handed with the Holy Spirit, to trust him and to offer him these things. That's the action step. So to help us get started with the tumbling process, let's take a look at these parables together. Let me read it again. Verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in a field, which a person found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells everything he has, and he buys that field. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all he had, and he bought it. Jesus says there is a person in a field and there is a merchant. We don't know if the person in the field was looking for the treasure or not. Perhaps he's a construction worker surveying to make an elevated highway in the field like we have next to our church. And then, surprise, he finds a treasure. The merchant, on the other hand, is looking for treasure. It's his objective. It's the reason he woke up in the morning. It's his livelihood to find treasure and to sell it. Jesus says they both find something surprising, a buried treasure and, whoa, a pearl of great value. I don't know much about pearls. I don't know how big to make my hand. Is the pearl this size? Is it this size? Is it like this size? Just how big is this pearl that the merchant finds? And Jesus' audience would have taken notice when he said pearl. There's a Roman historian named Pliny the Elder, and he's a contemporary of Jesus. Pliny writes about how Cleopatra owned two pearls that were the largest in the Roman world, worth 10 million sesterce. And if you know what a sesterce is, you know, I'm just assuming 10 million of those Roman currency was a lot of money. And Pliny said this about pearls. He said, pearls are the topmost rank among all things of price. Pearls were the most valuable thing in the first century. If Jesus were telling this parable today, he might say that the merchant found a hard drive loaded with Bitcoin, purchased in 2012 when it first came out. Or maybe he found stock options to a growing AI company. Great value. Jesus says the person in the field and the merchant sell everything they own to buy the treasure. How much do they sell? They sell everything. They look at everything they own and they compare it with the treasure and they sell it all. You might think it's a ridiculous sacrifice, but it's not for these two people. It's not a sacrifice at all. It's not a burden to sell all. It's a no-brainer to sell all. What they have found is simply and wonderfully more valuable than everything else that they could own. And they are ecstatic. Now, one more thing to notice in this parable as it tumbles around. The two parables are not identical in form. Jesus did not say two times that the kingdom of heaven is like a person who found something, sells everything, and buys the treasure. He didn't repeat himself. Let's look again. In the first parable, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. In the second parable, Jesus says the kingdom is like a merchant looking for pearls. The kingdom of heaven is a treasure hidden. The kingdom of heaven is a merchant searching. What do these two parables that Jesus casts along our thinking say about the kingdom of Jesus? It seems to me that Jesus wants us to know that the kingdom he is bringing is a kingdom of hiding and seeking. Just as the treasure is hidden in the field, the kingdom of Jesus is not obvious to all people. Many people go through life unaware of God and the truth about him. We all have friends, likely, and family members who are unaware of God's presence and goodness. And this is something that I have often asked God about. Why, God? Why is it that you remain so hidden? Why is it that you don't show yourself so that everybody can see? And it remains to me a mystery that the kingdom of heaven is hidden. There's a hidden dynamic to it. And just as the merchant is seeking fine pearls, there is a seeking dynamic to the kingdom. Seeking, in fact, is all over the Gospels. You read the Gospels and you'll see it everywhere. Jesus straight up says, seek first the kingdom of heaven. One of the first disciples of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, she lives this out after Jesus was crucified. The Gospel of Matthew points out that she went to the tomb seeking to anoint Jesus' entombed body. And because she seeks it, she's the first person to meet the resurrected Jesus. In order to experience God's kingdom, the scriptures say we need to seek it. Which is what you have done today. Everybody in this room, everybody watching online, we are seeking the kingdom by getting out of bed, by coming to church to listen and hear what God has for us. And Jesus famously says in his Sermon on the Mount, seek and you will find. Maybe $100. Come again next service. But what's even more incredible than Jesus, than us seeking Jesus, is Jesus is is seeking us. Jesus is seeking us. The kingdom of heaven coming is like a merchant seeking for fine pearls. Jesus is bringing his kingdom of heaven, and he's seeking what? A pearl of great value. And what does the pearl represent? It represents us. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son to seek and find. Jesus tells a story recorded in Matthew chapter 18, that the story is about a lost sheep, represent humans. And Jesus is the shepherd, and he is seeking the lost sheep. The reality of Jesus seeking is all over the Gospels. It's why Jesus shows up in the first century at all. Jesus is seeking every person, inviting every person that you meet into a relationship with him. Because every person, like Rachel said in her sermon last Sunday, is like a valuable pearl, is an image bearer, is full of great worth and value to God. Right now, Jesus is seeking you and me. Right now, Jesus is seeking your neighbor. The past couple months, we've been focusing on what we've called bless, and this passion to love our neighbors well and to bless our neighbors. And I've heard some of the stories. Some of my favorite stories are when people in our church here have said, I'm going to take some food over to my neighbor's house. I haven't met them before. And they take the food over to their neighbor's house, and they say hi, and they get to talking. And then a couple people have discovered that their neighbors, who they haven't met before, have illnesses. At least one of them has cancer. And they build a relationship, and they start to pray for each other. And God is seeking that neighbor through the work that we're doing as a church, just to love them and to bless them. I love these stories. They're happening all over the place. The kingdom of Jesus is a kingdom of hiding and seeking. But wait, there's more. These two parables also show us that it is a kingdom of surprise and joy. The person in the field did not expect to find the treasure. Surprise! When you came to church today, did you expect to find $100? Surprise! Did the merchant expect to find such an exquisite pearl? Yes, he was looking for pearls. That was his job. But surprise! What a pearl! What a pearl! Surprise is a dynamic in the kingdom of heaven. Think about the people listening to Jesus tell this parable for the first time. They were seeking. Absolutely, they were seeking. They knew Jesus was different. Nobody did the things Jesus did. Nobody said the things Jesus said. Nobody taught and acted in the way that Jesus taught. He was different, and they were seeking him. They crowded around Jesus that day because they were seeking him. But did they know? Did they expect? Did they understand all the things they had found? Not even close. James and John were thrilled to be Jesus' disciples. They thought they had found the political leader who would overthrow the Roman Empire and establish the new nation of Israel. They had no idea that the person they found was actually going to overthrow evil and Satan and death itself and to establish relationship between God and all humans throughout history. Surprise! Have you experienced what I've experienced, that when God shows up, his kingdom way of life has implications much deeper than what we thought we had found? Some of you are exploring what this whole church and Jesus thing is all about. And you've probably found, when you've come to Covenant Grove, that we're a bunch of pretty friendly people, and we drink great coffee. The coffee's great, right? And we have this habit of singing songs and listening to a talk on a scripture, and then we meet up in life groups in the middle of the week, and we pray, and we talk, and it kind of fits in your schedule, and you like it. And so you keep coming. But as you seek Jesus, as you keep sticking around his church community for a few weeks, something surprising will happen to you. You'll find what I am finding. You'll find what the first disciples found. You will find the life-changing implications of Jesus and his kingdom. They'll be surprising. They will grow. They will change your life. Matt showed up at our church in September, and he has found something good. He has found a treasure. Now, I'll be honest, the treasure is not Covenant Grove. The treasure is Jesus Christ. And the treasure is Jesus Christ and the family that he builds and he shapes and he creates. And Matt has found something good. And Matt and I were talking about these parables this week, and he would like to share some of his story with us this morning. So I'd like to invite Matt up on stage. Matt, thank you for joining us up here. And I love what God is doing in your life. So Matt, tell us a little bit about what's the treasure that you found. Hold that mic right there. There you go. Perfect. Yeah, right up there. Yeah, what else?
6 or 7 months ago, I went through a really rough breakup. And at that point, I kind of didn't really want to do anything or be alive at that point in my life. And my sister invited me to go to church, and she had done it a couple times. And I kept telling her no at first because I didn't really truthfully believe or see the things that he can do for us.
Wow.
And then when I walked through the doors, came in here, and there was a sermon about going through seasons and different seasons of your life, good, bad, or other. And it showed me a lot.
Wow. That's incredible. I hear you say you're going through a very rough time. And your sister's like, hey, come to church. And you're like, I don't want to do that. But then eventually you did. Wow. Just like in the parable, Jesus says that the merchant and the person had to sell things to receive the treasure. What is it that you've had to give up?
I've given up family and some friends, and I've had to give up some addictions that I had.
Mm, praise God. That's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing to give up addictions. Amen. It's not an easy thing.
No.
But to give up an addiction, to receive the thing from God, that's life-changing. Okay, so say more about the treasure that you found. How has it been changing your life?
God has a funny way of working in my life. For the longest time, I always thought, because people would tell me that you're not alone, he's always beside you. And I never really truly believed that until I got a chance to see him beside me and feel his presence with me.
Wow, that's huge. You also said you had to give up some friendships, some relationships. Have you received new friendships? Can you say a little bit more about that?
I've actually received many new friendships. I started going to young adults group here.
A little shout out to the young adults in the house. Go young adults.
And I've met quite a bit of new people, and very happy with the people I've surrounded myself with.
Man, that's what a beautiful story. Let's give thanks for Matt's story. Yeah, go ahead.
One of the biggest blessings I have would be my fiance.
That's pretty good. What a treasure.
She stands beside me with all of it and helps me walk on my path with Christ.
Amen. Matt, that's great. I'm so glad you had the courage to come up and share your story. I'm so glad for what God's doing. Can we pray for Matt? Let's pray for him. Dear Lord, we just thank you. Wow. From such a low point to fill this man with new life and relationship and love. What I heard most of all, though, was an awareness of your presence with him, that he's not alone, that he's loved by you. God, would you continue to cause that, the treasure of you, to impact Matt and the people that are around him. Thank you so much for him and your love. God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, brother, thank you so much. Bless you.
What Matt has gained is precisely what the scriptures talk about. Let me give you a short list of what the Bible says will happen to us as we live in the kingdom of Jesus. It's exactly what Matt's saying. From Galatians 5, the scriptures say that Jesus will replace our hate with love, our sorrow with joy, and our anxiety with peace. Jesus will give us patience instead of hurry.
kindness instead of cruelty, goodness instead of evil. We're going to start to live lives of faithfulness instead of infidelity, gentleness instead of rage, and self-control instead of being slaves to our own desires. The Bible says in John 15 that Jesus brings us out of loneliness and into an experience of belonging and friendship. The prophet Amos sets the kingdom of God alongside all the injustices of his day, and he says the kingdom of Jesus will, or the kingdom of God will bring justice rolling down like mighty waters. Put simply, the biblical picture of what Jesus brings is that the treasure and the pearl, it replaces our hate and our sorrow and our anxiety and our hurry. It replaces our cruelty and our evil and infidelity and rage and slavery and loneliness and overwhelm and injustice. Jesus replaces our grudges with forgiveness, our self-loathing with delight, and our anxiety with comfort in God and God's plan. And I often wonder why anyone would not be a Christian. It's that good. Paul, a disciple of Jesus, who did give up everything to follow him, can't contain the magnitude of the implications of Jesus. And so he simply writes in Romans chapter 12, or Romans chapter 11, he says, "Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom of God." And all of this is the surprise that we find in Jesus and his kingdom, which leads to joy. Rachel preached about the childlike gift of joy last Sunday. And as we discover these treasures, we discover more and more the full implications of Jesus and his kingdom. We will be like the person in the field who finds the treasure and out of joy, the scripture says, sells everything. Surprise! The person in the field and the merchant were not planning to sell everything that day. The merchant was going about his business, buying and selling pearls, buying and selling pearls, and suddenly he changes his plan. He changes his career, all for this one pearl. Can you imagine the merchant coming home to his wife that afternoon and saying, "Honey, we're selling the house." "Why?" "I found this pearl." "Are you crazy?" "I'm full of joy." Why does the merchant sell everything? Why does the person walking in the field sell everything? Because of the exquisite value of the treasure. This is what the disciples experienced. Peter and John left boats and nets. Matthew left his tax job. Simon the Zealot left his community of activists. This is what the early church did. They shared their possessions and they cared for each other. Why? Because of joy. Christianity is a joy-driven religion, not a should-driven religion. Let me say that again. Christianity is a joy-driven religion, not a should-driven religion. There is no, "You should not do that, and you should do this." The reality of Jesus' kingdom is, if you give up that, you will get to do this. Look how good this is. Do you want it? Joy. In the first century, and in the 21st century, to the crowd in Galilee and to hear at us at Covenant Grove, Jesus tells this parable. And he invites us to abandon what we thought the focus of our lives was and to center our lives on him and his kingdom. Bible teacher Beth Moore declares, "Being with God and his kingdom is worth everything that we have." And I don't know what this means for you. Only the Holy Spirit knows. What might you joyfully give up to receive the treasure that is the kingdom of Jesus? Worship team, would you come on up? Being joy-driven is actually true of God as well. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are a joy-driven God. Take a look at Hebrews 12. Does Hebrews 12 say that for the duty set before Jesus, he endured the cross? No. For the necessity set before Jesus? Because of the shameful mess humans made of things? No. Hebrews 12 reveals that it was for the joy set before Jesus. For the joy he endured the cross. For the joy he scorned its shame. And with joy he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus gave up his life for the joy of the kingdom. Jesus says in John 15, "These things I have spoken to you so that my joy might be in you and that your joy may be made complete." I have great joy in giving away $100 if it can help us experience that joy that the parable of Jesus points to. As American author Henry Van Dyke wrote these lyrics in 1907, he said, "Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love." The joy, the inestimable value of Jesus and his kingdom is why people convert to Christianity. It's why we follow Jesus. It's why we throw our arms open and we say, "I'm not in control of my life anymore, God. I want you to be in control. The treasures I seek, I want to set them aside. I want to receive the treasures you are giving me, God." And Jesus, would you help us to do that? Right now, Lord, this day, would you help us step into the reality of these parables? And Jesus, as they roll around and as they tumble around in our minds this week, would you do that work in us? Help us to let go and then help us to receive. We thank you that you're seeking us and we thank you for your joy. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.